This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Atlanta, what's going on? It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Happy Tuesday. We are loaded today. Chuck Smith's going to join us in about 20 minutes to talk about the Falcons, what he saw up front, how he broke it down and analyzed things, and how we potentially get better. Also, Mike, friend of the show, Stacy Sager's going to join us.
Yeah.
Sager Strong Foundation, man, and their golf tournament's coming up. I'm excited about it, bro.
Good people. I've known Craig for years, and one of my best friends in the whole wide world, Trunk Larry, introduced to me by Craig Sager. And last time we really got a chance to hang out with Stace was up at. It's been so long, Carl. I was at the Super Bowl.
Oh wow!
You know, we're in Houston. I mean, good and bad memories. That was up until like the game. But anyway, we'll talk to Stace and see how you guys can help a really great cause.
All right, that's on the way. Plenty of NFL conversation. Obviously, today we're also going to get a chance to talk to Joe Patrick about the Braves. Big win last night. We needed it. Phillies lose. And remember, guys, every game matters. And Mike, now you're looking at a situation where we are back in control. We've never really lost control of this division. But the fact is, I've been saying, I want to be 3, 4, 5 games up. We're 3 games over the Phillies as we speak.
Magic number is, what, 11 now?
Yeah.
Because it was 13 going in. So, again, any combination of their losses and our losses, so that's a good thing. So, yeah, man, last night, I mean, you know, the big inning, and boy, was it ever. I tuned in right at the end because I was watching the Packers game. By the way, I had Aaron Jones last night. Maximum points.
Woo!
Giddy up.
He crushed it.
Dude, 41 points for Yahoo Fantasy. So, that was, yeah, I won. But I was watching the game, and I heard Chip go, and, you know, the inning now, 30 over 30 minutes long. I was like, what? So, yeah, 7 runs are plated and an inning that lasts over a half an hour. And it really could have kept going. Ozzie got called out on a BS strike up in the zone. But, yeah, man, they busted it open against the Diamondbacks, as well they should.
No doubt. That's a bad team. They are trying to avoid their franchise record of 111 losses. They may or may not get there. But either way, we got to take advantage of it. And last night we did. So more on the Braves coming up. As always, guys, headlines brought to you by ATL Live Well. Low testosterone doesn't have to keep you down. You can call. Call today. ATL Live Well. Don't just live. Live well. Hey, a couple of things. And I just want to ask you this because we'll certainly talk about last night and what we saw with the Packers and Aaron Rodgers and all that coming up. Mike, when we talk about our football team, and I'm talking about the Falcons, obviously, and our DNA, which some people say you can change or you can't change. And I actually think you can. I don't think what you are is what you remain forever. But in our DNA, right, especially over the last few years, and now we have a new coach, and it's unfair to Arthur Smith, who's going to join us tomorrow on the show, and it's unfair to Terry Fontenot because they just stepped into the jobs. But the makeup and the DNA has been what you saw Sunday is what we are, that we can't finish even in games that we have control over. Now, how many games that, you know, go back to last year, guys, when Dan Quinn was our coach, how many games did we lead, speaking of the Cowboys, you know, and we end up blowing, you know, a 4-touchdown or a 3-touchdown lead, depending on the circumstances, or we don't get on an onside kick, or, you know, there's a botched fumble. We could go down the list of things that happen. But this DNA thing, it can change, right? It will change. This is not who we're always going to be. And I only bring this up to say, I think, Mike, this gets back to our conversation yesterday about, you know, we said, hey, there's some people who can't, you know, see Matt Ryan for how great he is because of the mistakes that he's made. We can get past this whole notion that this is what we are, right?
Yes and no. I think for some fans, it's going to require a complete reset of the organization, meaning a new quarterback, new franchise quarterback. Well, and again, it's not whether it's fair or not, just the way things are. I mean, okay. You know, a new regime. Because Matt, unfortunately, and again, this is not his fault, guys. I'm just telling you the perception for many folks in the fan base. So guys go, does that mean you? Yeah, to a degree, it means me. You know, it just, unfortunately, guys, we're just not clutch. You know, and if you want to say, one guy on Twitter said, what's our identity? I said, fundamentally unsound. Because as you and I have said for years, we don't block too well and we don't tackle. Specifically, we don't protect our quarterback and run, and we don't get after the other team's quarterback. But ultimately, what we are, Carl, to the rest of the country. And I'm not saying this matters, but if you want to know what people think outside 285, we're chokers. The Falcons choke. The Falcons can't play four quarters. They cannot finish. That is our identity to the rest of the NFL.
So this DNA thing.
By the way, do you agree with that?
I do. And that's why I think it can change. Now, it may not change immediately, but nothing stays the same. I mean, things are always changing. And you know, as we talk about this, some people will say we're just not that good. And, Chris, you can throw a poll up at Dukes and Bell. Sometimes some people will say, hey, the DNA of where we've been and where we're currently at, okay, we're 0-2. I don't know where the season's going. Mike and I have said this. But some people will say we're just not that good. Other people will say we just don't have enough great players. Then you have some people say, well, they're not used to the scheme, and therefore we haven't adapted yet, and that's why we're not good. Mm-hmm. And then you have, Mike, what you just said, which is this is who we've been, this is who we are. 404-741-0929. It's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. You believe that? You believe that's who we are, this is who we are, and this is who we're going to be, and it doesn't matter? Or do you think that we're just not that good, or we just haven't been good enough? In the Super Bowl, all right, to bring up that and pull that scab off again, Mike, we were good enough. We just didn't win the game. They were good enough to be in it, good enough to have a lead, but not good enough to finish. And sometimes you just got to look at yourself in the mirror, guys, and go, we're not that good. Are we not that good?
Well, I mean, that year, there's so many things. Again, people that grew up here and follow the team know the particulars. It was a really young defense that eventually got exposed. You know,
did you see Devondre Campbell by last night, by the way? Did you see Devondre?
Yeah. I mean, it's just we had it was a magical time, and we needed a few more plays, and we couldn't put it together. And again, the coaching staff, we lost outside of the we went too micro instead of macro at the end of the game. We all know how it turned out. And that changes the trajectory of the city, of the franchise, because everyone perceives, well, Hawks, Georgia, Braves, everybody, which has nothing to do with either, but we've talked about that a million times. Carl, for instance, the Buccaneers. When I was a kid, the Buccaneers were a laughingstock. If you told me, all right, I'll give you another example. All right, I'll give you an example. The New York Football Giants, the team that I grew up, the team that I grew up rooting for. When I was at the game, we've had Herm Edwards on the show. I was there with my dad when Pisarcik tries to give it to Zonka and we fumble away. When you are a kid and you told me when I was 10 years old in 1979, you will see four Super Bowl championship Giants teams, I would have said, no way in hell ever possible. The Saints have won a championship, which someone thought was impossible. Guys, we can turn it around. But what it means is having the right coach and the right general manager and the right attitude and the regime. The whole thing's got to be changed. And we don't know if Fontenot and Arthur Smith are the right guys or the wrong guys yet, because time is going to tell. And it's a small sample size. They inherited a very bad football team. And they're still pros. As you said last week, NFL players, the margin is still very slim, even from the good teams to the bad teams. But can we ever get four quarters together? Can Arthur Smith, Carl, get four quarters out of what we got and build on that?
That's the key. 60 minutes Sunday against the Giants. If you give me what you gave me in the third quarter, we win. I'll guarantee, as Charles Barkley would say, if you give me three of those quarters that we got in the third quarter, or four of those quarters, we win the game. So things change. I'm a big proponent of that. But I'm also a realist in understanding that we haven't just been that good, and that we don't have enough great players, and that sometimes the scheme plays and our guys don't know exactly what they're doing. But maybe you think it's one of these things when we talk about the makeup of our football team. We're 0-2. Mike, I can't wait to see where we're going to be in week 10 or 12. Now, only reason I say that is because have things been worked out? Does the team look completely different? Are we winning games? Are we winning close games? Are we in games? Because all of that tells me we're making progress. Here's the other part of this. I was talking to somebody today, and they said to me, And I thought it was interesting because, you know, you go back to the draft and you go back to the spring and all that. And Mike and I had all these conversations about, you know, who we wanted. We both loved the idea of going after Justin Fields. And you guys know that didn't happen, right? I said, I thought I just saw our future quarterback. But here's the other problem. You got a little bit of hope with Kyle Pitts last week because you saw glimpses of what he can potentially do. Mike talked about the one-hand catch, you know, and some of the stuff that he did and a couple of those balls that he got. But we need more of that. And the reason we need more of that, Mike, is it's got to give us hope. We've had zero in the last few years. And a guy said to me today, he said, you know, that's my biggest problem right now. I don't know how many games this team's going to win, but where's the hope? Well, the hope is with guys like Kyle Pitts
right.
and guys making plays. But part of that was our discussion in the spring about a quarterback. No disrespect to Matt Ryan. Mike, we didn't get that. So then we don't get Pitts in the preseason. And I'm going, I want it now. And then you get a glimpse of him last week and you go, why can't we get more of that? That was what gives us hope.
Right. And again, I think we've also got, you know, part of the fan base thought that this team was actually going to be competitive this year. And by competitive, I mean competitive for a playoff spot, which I just think you win four games, Carl, and you have all the issues that we've had to deal with. Plus, we weren't able to really augment the team with a lot of stars this year. But we're also learning that, wow, a guy like Cordarrelle Patterson, a couple guys like, well, if Cordarrelle Patterson's the best guy on your team, what does that say about your team? Okay. I mean, yes, hypothetically, true, but on the flip side, because again, this is Atlanta, so I mean, you know, it's going to be 50-50. It's going to be love, hate, good, bad, but hypothetically, yes. Also, Kyle Pitts, you see the skills. If you don't recognize the skills, I don't know what you're watching. It's going to have to be nurtured. It's going to have to be delivered. In other words, you got to get in the rock, as you said. One way we can see more of this, Cat, let's get him in a game plan. But I just think there's a lot of people that had too high expectations. You throw that in with how we looked the first 2 weeks, and then you got people just ready to jump off chip. And then one last thing, just as we're talking about, you know, how dreams can come true.
Yes,
my father told me being a fan is thick or thin. And I know that in 2021, Carl, nobody has the heart to see things through when things are tough, right? True fans do, right? I still wear my Florida State gear. We're a laughing stock of college football
right now. You're terrible. You're terrible.
But I'm still going down there Saturday. I'm going to take my beating. All right, my boy Dave, same guy, my boy Dave Power, same guy with that 60-point knockout against Louisville. But here's the thing. I'm going to go down there, I'm going to wear my gear, put the magnets on the side of the truck, drive down to Tallahassee, drink some beers, look at chicks, and then catch a beating. But I'm never going to quit on this team, and I'm never going to quit on the Falcons. So when we say these things, we're not quitting on the team. We're just telling you like it is. This is going to take some time. For all we know, Arthur Smith could be the next Bill Walsh. We don't know that, right?
Could be. Or
he could be the next Marty Morningweg. But it's too early to tell right now, Carl Dukes.
God, let's hope not. Hey, man, polls up. What's the crux of the issue? Years of systematic failure? It hadn't been that long, guys. We went to a Super Bowl 6 years ago.
Six.
Okay?
Six.
Players underperforming. The perception of losing or not letting the coaches build. Go vote at Dukes and Bell 929. Things change, guys. They just do. But we got to have the faith that the decisions are being made that are moving us in the right direction. Coming up, Chuck Smith, what did he see up front last week? He'll hand out his ballers and busters. Stay right there.
This is Jim Rome with a CBS Sports Minute. Let me start this minute with a very...
And it's 2:20, which means it's time for Chuck Smith. And we get his analysis of what went down over the weekend. He will join us on Fridays as we preview the next matchup with our Falcons and the Giants. And we welcome him into the WadeFord.com hotline. Chuck, you talked about this last Friday, about the pass rush, the guys up front. One of the things Mike alluded to yesterday, and we talked quite a bit about it, was all the batted balls defensively. I want to kind of start there and talk about, from a defensive lineman standpoint, we hear, you know, you guys learn all these different techniques. But talk to our listeners about what the deal is with batted balls and getting your hands up. Is that about angles or is that just about reading the quarterback?
Well, Carl, that's a good question. And the first thing defensive linemen think, they call that the second pass rush. The first pass rush is when you rush the passer, and if you don't have success, then you're always taught to get your hands up. Casey Rogers, the defensive line coach for Tampa Bay, we both had a legendary coach called Rex Norris. The same philosophy that Casey was teaching his defensive lineman, Vita, Adamikin, is something that we actually learned together in 1990 in college. It's something that we've talked about throughout the years, and that's part of that. That's the part of the reason. But let me tell you where the Falcons went wrong and how their scheme affected it. The Falcons never had enough time to throw a deep pass. So if you get a chance to throw an explosive play that's, say, 20, 25 yards, the trajectory of the ball will go over a defensive lineman's hands. So the Falcons didn't have enough time, nor did they get enough deep routes with Gage or whether it was Pitts or any of those guys downfield. So that a lot of the Falcons actually routes affected the ability and helped Tampa basically knock down passes.
Yeah, we were saying there was like no vertical passing game. How much of that was, you know, by design by us, or what, you know, what Tampa was dictating? Big Chuck Smith, Joe, is with us here breaking it down as he does every week, guys, as we talk about what just happened. And, again, we'll get into what's going on with the Giants later in the week. Chuck, the line, in the center of the line, they commented on TV. It was just, it seemed like, is it an intuition thing, or is that just comes from experience and knowing where to go? Because they always seem to go where they didn't need to be, where somebody wasn't, and then a free, whether it was a linebacker, somebody got a free run at the quarterback a lot.
Yeah, you know, I mean, give Tampa Todd Bowles a lot of credit with free runners, where he's basically, when the Falcons, when you got five, they're going to, Tampa's basically trying to get a free runner, and that's getting one more than the Falcons had. And, you know, to me, it looked like the line is one step slow. And what that tells me, Mike, is that they're indecisive. They're truly not embedded in this offense, because remember, nobody is, because we got the answer. We said we didn't prepare in the preseason, so what do you expect? You know, but, you know, give Tampa some credit, but to me, a lot of it has more to do with Atlanta's youthfulness. And I'm going to tell you this. I heard y'all talking about Matt Ryan. Some people saying you got him in the cradle, Mike, and you got a diaper on him, and you babying him still. I heard that, all right? So, but here's what I believe. Matt Ryan, listen, y'all, Matt Ryan, in that first, in when he got him back in the game in the first three quarters, some of the good things he did from second to third quarter, that was absolutely incredible. His pocket presence, his pocket, his ability to move and stay away from the rush. Because, listen, guys, this pass rush wasn't no different than Philly. They just didn't get him on the ground. Mm-hmm. He was grabbed. He was harassed. So I'm not going to sit here and say, wow, impressive. He didn't get injured like Ben Roethlisberger did, but he got blasted 10 times. To me, the offensive line let the Falcons down again. Matt Ryan was magical at some point in the pocket.
Chuck Smith joining us here on Dukes and Bell. All right, Chuck, let's give out your ballers and busters.
Who performed well and who didn't? Chuck Smith's Ballers and Busters on Dukes and Bell.
All right, who won, who didn't, and why?
All right, I got you. First baller. Now, listen real closely, guys. Every week, number 90 for the Falcons, Marlon Davidson is under the watch. He will get a baller or a buster, because when you wear number 90 and you're going to be 9-0 to Rhino 2.0, you got the ball. So he gets a baller this week. Marlon Davidson got his first sack, so good stuff on that. Nice. It was a nice stunt by Grady and Fowler. Also, real quick, let me give a baller out to Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson, Dak Prescott, Justin Fields, even Josh Allen, using their legs and showing people that, guess what, the evolution of what Mike Vick kind of started is here, and you can win with running quarterback. Right. All right, number two, there's something. Now, we got busters. Carl, I got mega busters.
All right.
The mega busters are the Pittsburgh Steelers offensive line. That's like two busters in one. He got hit 10 times. He's out. His pec is hurt. His feelings are hurt. And right now, I'm going to tell you, he's hurt real quick. Another triple buster, Miami Dolphins. Anytime he gets shut out 35-0, Tua's hurt again. I mean, you're the next kind of buster. Now, shout out to these ballers, the Raiders and the Cowboys fans. The Raiders fans took over the Steelers stadium, y'all. My boy Cam Hayward said it wasn't going to happen, but they did. And shout out to the Cowboys fans. Kudos to what the Cowboys did in San Diego, man. So big ups to them. I got a bust real quick. Kansas City Chiefs fan, how are you going to move Chris Jones, one of the best defensive tackles in the game, to the edge? Right now, as they listen, Mike, as they would say up north, listen, Kansas City's defense is a disaster. I'm just telling you that right now. And look, here's my last buster. This is a major buster that goes out to Charles Henry Smith III. Your boy, I'm talking in third person. I cut myself off last week, y'all. I had some new earbuds, man. I was in here. I panicked. One fell out my ear. I cut off. The boys in the studio called me back, man. man, I got to give myself a buster, y'all. So, hey, man, that's my ballers and busters. I'm finishing up as a buster. I accept my responsibility. Sean, you know, Sean and Reggie, they can, you know, bench me. Oh, I don't work that full time. Oh, yeah, I'm free.
You silly. You're silly. All right, I'm glad you gave yourself a buster because, yes, that was on you. Yeah. Last week.
Know your gear. Chuck, know your gear, okay? Know how to put on a jock strap. Know how to put on your shoulder pads, man. Hey, it's a Chuck Smith with us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline, our weekly visit. Chuck was a member of, for our younger audience. We actually had a defense once with Swagger. It was called the Bomb Squad. We got after it. Did you see our defense finding some confidence when they made those runs, got a couple of three and outs against Brady? Chuck, is that something they can build on as they learn more and understand how Dean Pease's defense works?
Absolutely. I listen. I got a chance. I watch. I love seeing Dante Fowler. He bull rushed. Then he did a counter with like a club move upfield. He got off the bull rush. Then he got a sack. Also, I'm watching Means. Kevin, he hit him with a cross chop. Some good rushes. Marlon Davidson did some good stuff. So, no, I saw the Falcons defensive line show some life. Deion Jones came down through the line, had his shoulders down, understood where protection was. So he knew where he had to dip at when he got a sack. So, Mike, your answer is yes. The Falcons showed life and were better as pass rushers in this game.
Yeah, I thought so too. And in your experience, how long are we talking about before we feel comfortable? I say we as in the players. It's not week one or two. At what point? Is it 6 weeks in the season where you go, man, I know what I'm doing. I know where I'm supposed to be responsibility-wise. I feel a lot more comfortable, which means then you play freely.
Well, I feel like it's going to be probably around game three or four. Okay. And let me tell you why, because you're playing the Giants this week. Things get a lot better when you get a chance to get your quarterback back there and get some plays that you can't run. So remember, the Falcons offense, there are plays that they haven't been able to run because the bullies up in Philly and the dogs that we played in Tampa. So when you look at it from that standpoint, I think the Falcons offense will evolve as well as the defense, like Dean Pease talked about. I just think these next couple games give the Falcons a better chance, and they will get better, I believe, in games three and four.
Yeah, I know that we've talked a lot about, you know, changing the culture. And, you know, as we said, Carl started the show talking about what our identity is. And it's just difficult because I think some fans don't realize, Chuck, how bare the cupboard was. We turned the roster over, and we didn't have a lot of money to spend on big impact players. So this is it. I mean, anything that's going to happen is going to come from coaching and development through the course of the season. Is that the best way to put it?
Yeah, I mean, I think they got to create it. I mean, NFL, you can't ask for respect. I'm going to be real with y'all. You got to take respect. You got to not cat the round, man. You got to be a dog. You got to be the cat. When the Dominican Sue gets off the pile, Mayfield push him on the pile and get that 15-yard penalty and say, yo, what? Like you say, like old school. So the Falcons, I'm going to just tell you straight up, I love them. Each individual is evaluated differently in the setting of a team. The team looked around the league is looked at as weak. But Grady, you got individuals like Deion, some of those guys are looked at as dogs. But you really think right now people really fear Kyle Pitts blocking him? You really think, honestly, the Rams with Ramsey and some of them guys will fear our receiver corps? They got to go out and earn it. They got to change the identity. Because remember, this last identity, remember, we were just all gas, no brakes. We were just finesse. We were just Julio Jones. So the Falcons, not only is it the Falcons team, it was the organization that created that our team is built around offense. Yeah. So when you're built around offense around the NFL, there's some semblance when you don't have the players that you're soft and you're weak. Right now, I mean, when you're 0-2, guess what? If you're 0-2 right now, everybody in the NFL is looking at that team as being weak. And the Falcons jump right back in.
Got a chance to change that on Sunday. Chuck, great job as always. Look forward to our visit on Friday, man. Take care.
All right, y'all. Live life every day like it's third and eight. Let's get it.
That's it.
Right on, brother. Yeah, man, like you said, there were some good things. I mean, if you are a glass half-empty person, you're not going to see any good things from the Falcons effort on Sunday. But one of the things that you and I talked about, Carl, was the defense and how they did actually get some things rolling, and they actually had some – there were some plays being made. A little worried, though, not having A.J. Terrell for the Giants because they've got a pretty good receiver core.
I agree. I always want my best corner out there. There's other positions up front you can lose, and hopefully guys can step in. Corner's just so difficult. You guys saw it last night in that Monday night game, which we'll talk about coming up. Chuck Smith again joins us again on Fridays to break down the Giants front and the Falcons front, and where might we have some success? Hey, football is finally back. Your picks could be worth $10,000 with the Rocket Mortgage 2021 Pro Football Pick'em. Sign up today by texting PICKS to 20357 and just pick the winners of each week's games, guys. No point spreads, no lineups. $1,000 this week, $10,000 by the end of the season. Text PICKS, P-I-C-K-S, to 20357 and sign up. It's Rocket Mortgage 2021 Pro Football Pick'em. Stacy Sager joins us next on Dukes and Bell.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
It is Dukes and Bell. Sometimes we get things mixed up on the show, and there's a lot going on. We're actually going to talk to Stacy Sager tomorrow on the show. But I will tell you guys, because Mike and I will be out at the golf tournament event on October 11th. We want you guys to be there as well. Mm-hmm. It's such a great cause. It's Hawks Ridge Golf Club up in Ball Ground. If you've ever been up there, it's amazing. I was just telling Bo earlier today, it's a great course, but beyond that, it's a great cause. Right. And Mike, we'll talk to Stacy tomorrow, but briefly, the tournament, it originally created in 2016 by the late great sports broadcaster and our friend Craig Sager and his wife Stacy to support the mission of Sager Strong. That's the Sager Strong Foundation. Gives hope where it's needed most by the families dealing with a blood cancer diagnosis. So that's what this is about. And here's the website. Okay, I want to give it to you, but tomorrow we'll talk to Stacy. SagerStrongFoundation.org/Living Out Loud Golf Tournament. Okay, you Google that or put it in your web search or whatever, and that will pull up, guys, and it will give you all the information you're looking for.
Such a good dude. You know, Craig's, you know how I feel about Sags, man. It was my boys, and so many people that he had great times with and just so beloved. And, again, it's a great cause, and it's cool to see, you know, his legacy living on through this and raising money for that cause. We'll be, again, next month in less than a month, brother, we'll be out there having a good time.
Yeah, it's going to be a really good time. Hey, appreciate all the input. Falcon fans, football fans chiming in on our poll today as I retweeted and asked you, what do you think? As we talk about, you know, what's the crux of the issue for our Falcons? We're 0-2, but it's about the DNA and the makeup of our franchise and the team and what we've been the last few years. This doesn't speak to the 60 years of the team, okay? It doesn't speak to every year, but we've been in this funk since the Super Bowl. And we're asking you, you know, is it years of systematic failure? Is it players underperforming? Is it the perception of losing? Or is it simply not letting coaches build and get to where they need to be? You can go vote. And if you think it's something else, you can let us know, guys, at Dukes and Bell 929.
And we were just talking about this with a couple of listeners during the commercial break, a couple of guys on Twitch, a couple of guys. You can follow us, by the way. Watch the show live on Twitch as well, as we're both from home at Twitch 92.9 The Game. You know, if you go back and look at the teams, and I mentioned, you know, a hapless Giants team that I grew up as a kid, you know, rooting for. And they actually had a guy in George Young. They had a strong general manager come in and set. And again, Bill Parcells, that's a game-changing coach right there. Bill Belichick, that's a game-changing, you know, assistant who goes on to do great things elsewhere, obviously. You know, but having the right X's and O's to have the personnel. Personality of that team was defense. personnel of that defense was hard-hitting linebackers going to knock your socks off. You're going to run the football, right? And if Phil Sims can throw a touchdown, that's a bonus. But that was the motto, basically. And then later on, it was Ernie Accorsi, and then it was Floyd Reese. But again, it was still about the Giants are defense. The Ravens are defense. Now the Ravens are defense with Lamar Jackson and Showtime, right? But there's an identity there. We've had pass rush. You can count the times the Falcons have had decent pass rush, literally, Carl, on one hand. In the 24 years now of football seasons, I've watched these guys. You know, we talked about Chuck Smith and the Bomb Squad. We talked about the Predator, John Abraham. Talked about Patrick Kearney and Rod Coleman. That's about it. You know, the great year, the one year, obviously, where Vic Beasley was doing his thing.
16.
Right.
16 and that was, sacks.
And that was a year where, you know, we had other pieces in there that helped out. But still, it's rare. It's just we don't do it. That's the thing. And also, Carl, real quick, I know I'm going to babble on this, but I've written about 15 blogs over the years that you and I have talked about. The general manager's philosophy, our general manager's philosophy, to Chuck's point, was finesse. We're going to outscore the opponent.
Oh, I think Mike lost it there. Did we lose him? All right. And Mike was talking about Thomas Dimitroff there and outscoring opponents. That goes back to 2010 where, you know, everybody's trying. It's an arms race. And you lose to Green Bay, and then you go get Julio Jones. And that was the big deal and the big trade. More on this coming up, guys. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We'll get more on our NFL blitz as Tom Brady could break passing records against his old team. And we'll talk about what happened last night in detail coming up at 3 o'clock. Right now, Chris behind the glass, Turtle, our engineer, Bo Morgan, executive producing. Let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
With Dukes and Bell.
Oh, it was all about offense last night for our Bravos, guys. Braves win. Braves win 11-4. And, boy, we needed it. Brian Snicker said it just felt good.
So it's nice to have an offensive game. You know, we've been waiting for that, and hopefully that's something that, you know, we carry on. And just, you know, good to see the guys bang the ball around a little bit.
Yeah, it was, man. I mean, everybody was in on this. I mean, Riley had three doubles last night. Duvall had a home run. I still think it's going. Mike, I still think the Duvall home run is still going somewhere.
They had some angles. That's a big ballpark, too. What's it called these days? It used to be Bank One Ballpark or Chase, whatever the hell it's called. But anyway, yeah, the angles they had from right field looking over. It's a moonshot, man. I apologize, by the way. The guys are here to bury my cable, but I literally had to run outside, Carl, and say, don't touch my cable. I'm on the radio right now. Sorry about that.
It's all good, man. I mean, listen, as long as they get it buried at a later date. Yeah. Hey, so the Braves back at it tonight. D-backs, again, trying to avoid, you know, their worst loss season, which is 111 losses. But for me, last night was really about what Snit is talking about, a nice breakout night for the offense. Let's get some guys going. Rosario continues to impress, but Mike Soler and Freddie, you know, you start that big fifth inning with those guys doubling back to back, and then all of a sudden, boom, this thing just opened up. But let's give props to Austin Riley. When the season started, okay, and we are literally a week away from the season being over, the regular season, Mike and I said, what is Austin Riley going to do this year? Is this the breakout year? And I forget, what was the general manager, Chris, we had on earlier in the year? Randy Mueller, who came on, and he was like, listen, If he doesn't improve.
No, it was Jim Bowden. It was Jim Bowden, the former.
Jim Bowden. Okay. Yeah. If he doesn't improve, we're talking about Riley, the Braves will probably look to trade him. And to his credit, that wasn't, you know, saying that to put pressure on him, but this was like a make or break it year. And guys, Riley's average is over 300. Mike, he's got 30 doubles on the season. He's on the verge of having 30 home runs. Just give him props, man. He's lived up to it. And this is the guy that we thought he would be when he got called up a couple of years back. And we said, how fast will he get here? It took a while. It took a couple of seasons. Mm. But, Mike, Austin Riley is everything we could expect him to be.
He's batting 300. And, again, I know there's more metrics and more important stuff, you know, OPS and all that. But, I mean, it's just something we said, when is he going to reach full potential? Now, we need to get Dansby back in the swing of things. Dansby's fallen off a little bit, as has Ozzie. And that was something I heard Peter Moylan talking about last night on Bally Sports. Mm. So, hopefully, those guys can kind of get back where they were when they went through the month of August and got off that unbelievable tear obviously Dansby was on fire. So, I mean, you're not going to keep at that pace all season long, but it'd be really cool if they could kind of reignite those engines, right? And speaking of Peter Moylan, he mentioned Duvall. If the average is a little bit higher, you could think about him in the you could actually think about him as an MVP candidate, Carl, because of what he means to this team and how he's helped to energize since coming back for Act Two.
I would agree. I definitely would agree. It's Dukes and Bell. It's our headline segment, guys. Coming up, NFL Blitz is on the way. Let's hear from our coach, Arthur Smith, Mike. On the coaches show yesterday, 6 o'clock hour, here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, David Archer asked him about the offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, that's a challenge. I mean, we got to make progress every week. But that's what you want to see mentality-wise. You got to find different ways. This league, you know, if you become obvious, they'll take away your fastball. And if you don't have a counterpunch, and so yesterday was a good step in the right direction. You know, there's certain things we want to accomplish. You know, maybe we left some on the table in the run game. We certainly go back and look at that. We knew interior, you know, it would be tough sledding at times, certain schemes, and what they were going to try to take away. And when you can prove that you can actually go out there and be effective and you're not one-dimensional and you can actually pick the ball up 48 times, that's encouraging, especially coming off a game. Like last week, we felt, you know, we didn't feel very good about the pass pro, and these guys stepped up, and that's what you want to see. And that was encouraging. There's always stuff, as you know, Arch. We got to be objective in what you can clean up. But it was pleased to see Mayfield step up. You know, you've seen in your time around the league, Arch, that stuff can mentally break people, and you find out about people when they have some adversity, and that was encouraging, at least about Jalen.
So he's not soft. I mean, mentally, Mike, because right. All the criticism he got after week one, he could have, you know, just went into his shell and hear coaches saying, I know the result's not what we wanted, but go look at what he was doing and how well he played Sunday. It's kind of hard to see that based on the result, but that's good news to me.
Right. I know that we've been talking about this guy and what's going on here. And again, how much we don't know, because from a coaching standpoint, Carl, when they look at some of those end zone camera angles, how much of that maybe was Hennessy who did the wrong thing, right? We're blaming Mayfield. But if you listen to Greg Olsen on the Fox broadcast, he was talking about going the wrong way. Basically, you're going to give help where help isn't needed. Now, remember, he is a tackle by nature, not naughty by nature, Carl, but a tackle by nature who's playing
hey!
Guard.
Hey! Oh!
So, and again, I had him in my fantasy draft back in the day, my mock draft. So I'm going to stick with this kid. We knew there was going to be some bumps in the road, but and I don't really care to see a journeyman. I'd rather see our rookies that were drafted develop into these starters, but we knew there were going to be some bumps along the way. Let's hope there is the growth that Arthur's talking about.
No doubt about it. All right, we're going to come back and talk about what happened last night. Aaron Rodgers answers the bell, and the other guy, not so much. We talk about when the lights are the brightest. Well, I'll tell you, I'm not impressed with Jared Goff, at least not yet. Maybe things change in Detroit. We're coming back. NFL Blitz coming up.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.